Accession number 18151, Reel 3.
Joe Gibbs, Reel 3.
Well, as I was saying, we went to this little railway station, which at the finish became a great name. There we caught a train. It was El Alamein, a little railway station round there. And we had to get into cattle trucks, and we were driven across the desert to a place, we passed through Merzimatru, to a place called Fort Capuzzo. There we, as far as the train could go. And we get off there, and we had to be encamped there for 2 or 3 days until the lorries were available to take us further on. Well, eventually, the lorries did arrive, and we got into the lorries. There was about 12 of us for our company. There was other lorries going to different, like the forwarded area, the foot soldiers and the tanks and all different parts of the regiment. And as I say, I ended up in Tobruk with all these boys. Surprised to see once again a lot of my mates. And of course I then was put into a gang. The officers interrogating us. What can you do? Can you do this? Can you do that? Can you drive a crane? Well, there wasn't no cranes there then. Can you drive a winch? I said, yes. I said, all right, you be a winch driver. Go with Joe Burns. My other mate who was driving the winch for me was Joey Insole. And Joe Burns was our hatchwayman. And of course, there again, we was working on the ships in Tobruk. And really unhealthy when the Stuka bombers had to come over and died down on us, because we had very, very little air force there. You'd see an odd English plane now and again. I don't know the strength of what air force we had out there at the time I'm talking, in 41. But they bombed and they strafed and they knocked hell out of us while we were working on the ships. And I remember on one occasion, I think it was called the Empire Promise. And we were working on this ship. And we was on night shift. Now, while we were working on these ships, during the day, at Navy House, which was right on the high point of the town, if there was a raid going to happen, they used to hoist the green flag up, or a red flag. When the raid was coming, they'd hoist a red flag up. Everybody used to take cover then and get digging the trench or wherever. But us out on the ship, we couldn't run nowhere. And these little boats never had no guns on them or anything. We had to rely on the battery that was around the harbour, you see. Then when the all clear was gone, they'd hoist the green flag. Well, this day, I was on night shift. This day, they'd been working on the Empire Promise, and they'd been unloading flour. And when you worked night time, you relied on the moon, because them old Egyptian moons used to light up a lot, you know. And down the hold, you would have a 60-watt lamp. Well, only the occasion of the bags being busted, torn and split, there was a lot of flour all over the dock, over the deck of the ship, and on the bars, on the lighter. And it looked like a white sheet, you know. This night, he came over. God, if I said my prayers once, I said them about 100 times. And I run, and on a ship, they've got a ventilation what goes down to the stokehole, let the air up. And I run and hid in one of them. And eventually, we got on the barge, and we was brought ashore. When I walked ashore, my brother was there, got hold of me. He'd come up to Tobruk and joined us. And, of course, we went to... And as we was walking across the dummy quay that they made, there's photographs in there, all of this, of this quay. There was a ship gone over, bombed, turned over on its side, and they put planks and planks of wood over it to make it a quay to unloading the ship. You understand? Jerry came over and he dropped a stick of bombs. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 bombs. Not one went off. And we was laying in our billet. Our billet was like one of the old mud huts there that been bombed or shelled or whatever, and you made the best of it. It was better than sleeping under canvas because it kept more cold out. And about 3 o'clock, maybe a little bit later, these bombs went off. Bomb, bomb, bang, bang, bang. And the poor Mauritians, the Mauritians were working on the quay. They were the quay. Some of them copped it when these bombs went off. They were delayed bombs, delayed action. Because going back down in the sand, you know, you couldn't dig them up right away. They never went off, so people took, they was dead ones. And that was a little example of what we went through. And then we worked there. And that was our work, unloading the cargo off the ship onto these big lighters, tank landing craft. They were flat, flat bottom ones. And they were what they've been using out in Malaya, like up and in shallow water. What's that? They brought them back here. And of course, that's it. We carried on then. Had the 41, 42 Christmas there. No, don't lie. 40, we got pushed out there. 1941, 42. Oh, anyway, I'll forget now. When we got pushed out, eventually we did get pushed out of Tobruk. That was the second time. We had to evacuate Tobruk. Well, we evacuated on a little old boat, and it had tar on it, and we had to take all the rations out and the tar and that, and we had to go down this hole, it was full of tar. I'm on deck. And we evacuated Tobruk. Well, Tobruk fell then. It was just after Christmas, yes, right, yeah. Because we was back in Tobruk again in 42. And we got on this West End, we're going along there, and they were shelling from the coast, all along the coast, the Germans were sending shellings over to it, all the ships that was taking us out of Tobruk. And we landed in Alexandria. From there, we got on the lorries and they took us out in the desert again to a place called Fanara. F-A-N-A-R-N-A, Fanara. And Gabit. And there we stuck there for a while, working on the canal.
Doing docker's work?
Oh, yeah. No, on tug and lighters. The natives done all the work in Egypt, natives done. But we was on tug and lighters. That's where I joined the tug and lighters, pulling the barges out to the ships and in the bit of lakes. And then we went
so
down.
So you were like the crew of the tug?
I was the skipper of the tug, but I had Egyptian crew.
But did you know anything about seamanship?
Well, no, you didn't know nothing about a rifle, did we? When we first joined the army, you had to learn, didn't you? But the natives there were very good. The natives were very good there. And from there, we had a wonderful experience. We're going down to, we didn't know where we're going until we got there. We don't know where we're going until we're there. That was the song. It's on his motors, not too long. Yeah, on the motors, took us to the railway heading, got in the train. And we travelled for a whole day on the train. And we went to a place called Aswan. Right? There at Aswan, which today they've built the new dam there, ain't they? Right. For where they built that dam, opposite where we got onto this flat bottom, like an old Mississippi boat, you know? Photograph theatre to show you. There was a big tomb there, you know, like, and they after the war, they had to shift that and shift it up further up the river because they built the S1 dam. We got on this ship, this boat, flat bottom boat, and we're sailing down the Nile, right? Now, when we're sailing down the Nile, there's two Niles, there's a blue Nile and a white Nile. I think we're still stuck on the blue Nile. That one leads to South Africa somewhere, I don't know. But this one led us to Khartoum. But we couldn't go right into Khartoum. So we got off of a place called Atbara. A-T-B-A-R-R-A. Atbara. A wilderness. Out in the wilderness. And we got on the motors, and the motors, we spent a couple of days there in the desert again. And then we got on the motors, and they took us to Khartoum.
Is this your Royal Engineers unit?
Yeah. Yeah. See, we, with the Royal Engineers, we were what they call the handymen of the British Army. You could be called on to do defence work, which I forgot to mention in the early tape, what I've done along the coast to Folkestone. Defence work, bridging, which I forgot to mention that I've done at Chatham Barracks. Mine laying, I didn't do that. Laid barbed wire and everything. Tunnelling, which I did that. Dig tunnels. Whatever you was called upon. And don't forget, before anybody advanced from Alamein, or anybody advanced, it was the sappers that had to go first to clear the mines, the Royal Engineers. I did have a book on the history of the war, of Royal Engineers, and 75% of your British Army come out of the Royal Engineers. Indian Marines, they were Royal Engineers. But anyway, that's another story. But we went to Khartoum, and then we got on a train, and it was a day's ride. In fact, I think it was a day and night from Khartoum, so many thousand feet above sea level, to come down like that. Now on this train you actually had two engines. The slope was so steep. You had one in the front and one in the back. Right? As this one was going down, so this one was older, so it didn't go too far. And when it rained there, we had our rainy seasons there, not a monsoon. Used to wash the railway away. And we used to go back there and help to build up the railway again. Well, we were in the Sudan supervising. And
supervising what?
The ship, loading the ships and that. Unloading and loading ships. And it wasn't at the time, but I realised that something was on, because it was an hurry up job loading the ships with ammunition, foodstuff, petrol, etc., etc., all supplies.
What was the name of the port?
Port Sudan.
And were these Sudanese?
Sudanese used to work on the ships loading. And the Egyptians used to work on the quay supplying the men to load, you know what I mean? They were quay hands, and the Sudanese, they were the ship hands. And these Sudanese were big men. And you never see a Sudanese walk along with his hands by his side. He always had a stick across his back, and his two arms used to rest on it like that. And that's how he used to walk. In other words, they were the fuzzy wuzzies. They were fuzzy wuzzies. Very nice people.
Were they good workers?
Good workers. Very good workers.
In what way were they so nice?
Pardon?
In what way were they so nice?
Well, they acknowledged us. If we see them in town after they've finished work, like Sundays or something like that, they would be going to church all done up nice in their white galabeers, you know. And there's the swords and one thing and another on their sides. And they used to acknowledge us. And, I found them fuzzy wuzzies better for acquaintance than what the Egyptians. Because, you know, like, Sudan was really, was at the time was British, wasn't it? See, they thought Queen Victoria was a man, because you speak to them, show them head of the Queen Queen Victoria's head. So Queen Victoria, very good man. Because if you look at Queen Victoria, the old one, she was like a man, wasn't she? They said Queen Victoria's a very good man. You know, we got on very well with the Sudanese. I did.
And what were the Mauritians like in Tobruk?
The Mauritians, oh, they were nice chaps. That was in Tobruk. That was in Tobruk when we had the Mauritians. They were very nice, spoke good English and all, you know. Good English. Like the black people here today, you know, like, that's come over from, you know. They were very good fellas then. Of course, then we had the black Maoris, the Australians. They were a fighting mob. Oh, they were good. Then we had the Indian Gurkhas, a good mob. Australians.
But coming back to Port Sudan, did you like it there?
No, I didn't. It was too hot. The heat there was terrific. Terrific. You didn't take your tape off. You couldn't take your topi off. You could walk about, and at these big barracks that we was in, you could walk about with a little pair of pants on, right? But if you was caught walking about without your slippers or your topi, you was on a charge. Because the topi was to protect you from heat stroke, and the slippers was to protect you from getting sandworms under your toenails. And then if you was walking about and you got sunburned, and you went sick to see the medical officer, you were put on a charge.
Did you fall sick in Port Sudan?
Yeah, I had dysentery twice. And I was sent back so many feet above sea level, a little place called the Gebit. Gebit.
To recover, you mean?
Eh?
To recover?
Yeah. You go by it when you go by the run. Now, this place here was where the Sudanese broke the English square and killed so many hundreds of British soldiers during the Zulu Wars. And on the mountain of the regiments that was stationed there at that time, they made their big cap badges in big white stone. And you could see it, Royal Artillery, Infantry, the so-and-so, no tank regiments then. It was all infantry and one thing another like that. Different regiments. The Essex, the Sussex, the Middlesex and all things like that. And you see these badges and they look like as big as that badge there. They were so high up. Well, a little bit bigger than that. They were so high up. And we went up there. When I got better and they shoved me in a convalescent tent, they took us out for exercise and this bloke, this sergeant or corporal, he was, took us up there, and we got up there. Took us nearly over half a day to get up there. It was climbing all the time, stopping, having a drink, make sure you've got your bottle, water bottle, and a sandwich. Up there was a lot of glass bottles. You weren't allowed to touch them. And all these bottles was from the regiments that was down there that got killed, and different regiments that had been there, all in the 1700s and 1800s, you know what I mean? Wonderful experience. Of course, then I worked, we worked and worked. When I got to Port Sudan, we was working. Dreadful again, full of sharks. You had to go across the bay to the other side of the bay to get to the ships that were working. Because this side was all sailor beaches. And you'd be sitting in a boat like that and a flipping shark would come alongside of you, you know. At the finish, we got scared. We were scared. I was scared. And we demanded to go the longest way round in a lorry. So we used to go round in a lorry. We wouldn't cross. This old wog used to, Egyptian, used to rush across, you know. And these old sharks used to come by you. Oh, dear. I thought, no. And you keep your hands in. If you had your hands, it had you. So we complained about it and we went by what's then? Anyway, we left there. We left there November. We left there November 42. No, before that. It was before the Alamein started. We come back and we was in a place in Alexandria called Mustafa Barracks. That's where we were billeted. We was allowed to draw pay and given freedom to go out to the town and it. And of course we went to the town. Good old jolly up, good drink. Had a good time. Then all of a sudden, come up on orders, parade, we all went on parade, and we was, alright, you was all in that lorry, And then we was driven to a place just outside Alamein, and we were loading lorries up then with drums of water, ammunition, food, barbed wire, loaded up, and it was, and that's when the Alamein started. And when they started up, we all jumped out of our beds when it started. When that bombardment started Alamein. It was dark at night time. And when we went the next day, it was still going, and still going that next night. We worked there that night. We worked there one night, and it lit up the sky. We had to have them earplugs. The guns that was going off there. You heard a roll of thunder. Well, it was six times worse than that, because all these guns was firing. And there we worked. We worked there for about a week, and this bombardment was going on. We were about, shall I say, 3 or 4 miles away from where the actual fight was, where the bombardment started, Alamein, but we could hear it. And then all of a sudden it was, leave your kit, grab your small valise and everything, get in that lorry, and they collected our kit bags and that, shoved them in the lorry, and we was away. Next thing we know, we was in Tobruk. And lorry pulled up, all our gear, get your gear, make yourself, find what billet you can. Once again, it was in old houses, been blown up and blown down and one thing and another. Like. And there I stopped then in Tobruk. We had one raid. And he was an high-level bomber. He never died down like he did before when I was in Tobruk. I used to dive right down, nearly hit the mast of the ships. You could see the airport, the airman, the pilot, he used to wave to you. And
what work were you doing in Tobruk the second time?
Same again, all the same. Unloading, loading ships. Unloading mostly. And then we left there. I can't say when we left there. I know while we were there, it must have been around about Christmas time, because we used to have an army paper there, what Montgomery got out. It was Montgomery and Alexander had come there, then he took over. And I don't know if it was called the 8th Army Mail or the Egyptian Mail or something like that. But all I know that Montgomery said that, we're sorry for your Christmas dinner, what we're having, but we'll make it up to you when we get to Tripoli. And then we left there, and we were going along the coast road, and they used to have these big boats coming that used to drop their, doors used to open, drop their flap down, be loaded up with ammunition, biscuits, food and that. And we used to get rollers then, from the bank down to like that. And we used to fill up drums with water, stay in them, had the rollers on them. Now you could be under 200 yards away, maybe 300 yards away. So what you had half a dozen men in the lighter, and they'd be chucking the boxes or cases, whatever, on the rollers. Now, you'd be standing up to your waist in water, like that, right? And you'd be pushing it down. And as it gets up, so the water gets, so you're out of the water. And every so often, you change round. All right, you go up the bank, you come down, move forward, and so you have relief. You wasn't standing in the water all the time. And that's how it carried on for 2 or 3 days. But once they took a port, once the boys took a port, then we was all right with the workmen. Well, then we left there and we went to a place, I can't think of it at the moment now.
Tunis?
No, we're still in North Africa, but this place we were supposed to go, there was a port there and we couldn't go in there.
Benghazi?
No, well, we went to Benghazi, but we overrun, there were two companies used to overrun each other, you know what I mean? Like we was at the
Brook, Leapfrog.
Leapfrog over each other. 1018 it was. They come from Alex. And this place was all mined. We couldn't get in. And that's when we was unloading the lighters outside up the sand. Then we waited then and heard the Battle of Tripoli go. Yeah, oh, that's when I see the most airplanes in all my life. When we was laying outside Tripoli waiting to go in. That's when we see the United States Air Force go there. That's the only time I see a Yank was in the Air Force. And there wasn't no Yanks out there. The Yanks was in the First Army in North Africa. So then we took Tripoli and bump. That was it. We was landed. And we was happy. And I came home from one night off to a ship. I can't think of the name of the ship now. It was an American ship, had loads of ammunition on it and that. Can't think of the name of it. It was Empire something, I know. They're all the ships named Empire. They were Empire boats. And I've got it in my memoirs. We got home. First thing I used to do before I used to go down to my mules, sit down and write a letter. So our billet was a big, big hotel. Oh, cushy. No beds or nothing. In empty rooms, you just chuck your bed down on the floor. And this raid come, and they was bombing it. And we got up to go to the downstairs under the vaults. And as we did so, he dropped a bomb outside the door. Bang, bang, bang. And next thing I know, bang, I got knocked out. I had all my face split all down here, and my back and arm. I was wounded. Anyway, they rushed me to hospital. And while I was in the hospital, 2 days I was in the hospital, Jerry started pushing back. And so I was put on the boat again, and I was took back down the line to a place called Barsi. So anyway,